starts taking pictures. Are you videoing this? This is copyrighted material, mate. Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. I nearly said Big Show then. That was last night. I've slept. This is the show that discusses all things Mac, all the big stuff that's gone on, all the happenings in Apple that you want to know about. And we have a luminous panel of luminaries. I think I've got that wrong, but never mind. Starting us off, top left, Mr. James Ricards. How the devil are you, buddy?
Bonjour, ça va? I'm very well, thank you.
How's the south of France? You got any snow?
No, do you know what? It's bright blue skies. We're about 10 degrees, so it's actually, it's okay. It's kind of nice enough to put the fire on. Let's chuck a few logs on the fire, but other than that, it's actually quite lovely. I'm still using my wife's MacBook Air. Not good, is it?
It's doing all right.
Yes, it's all right for the little things, as we discovered this morning. But no, I'm preparing to come back to the UK on Sunday, so we've got the ferry booked and all that sort of jazz. So yeah, been busy getting a house ready to lock up for the winter and come over to old Blighty.
Now, MacBook Air or the MacBook Pro gets replenished on the 12th?
Now, let's hope so. My appointment is in Exeter, so if you're around Exeter on about 11 o'clock in the morning,
fight,
you'll see a very disgruntled
man. Fight.
Come on. I will be sitting there at 11 o'clock at the store in Exeter. AppleCare booked me that appointment, and he's hoping, fingers crossed. I bet it'll work. They'll hold some button up down, and it'll just come to life and go, yeah, off you go, mate. You're all sorted.
Have you tried to start it since, going, I just wonder?
Oh, mate, yeah. Although,
all right, every day.
Yeah, I've actually left it plugged in. I'm not actually going to disconnect it till tomorrow, so I actually have to go on Sunday. But yeah, so the drama continues, but otherwise, all good, thank you.
We'll expect an update next week. You are coming on
Let's
the show
hope
next
so.
Week. Yeah.
Let's hope so.
Next to him, Adam, how you doing, pal? Tough time around your neck of the woods, isn't it?
Doing all right. Yeah, lots of people evacuated, fire raging through structures and buildings, which is not good. And
in December,
a lot of people displaced, a lot of animals displaced, horses. There was a stampede even at one of the horse ranches. So it's bad. It's really pretty bad.
And a wildfire in December is probably unheard of, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, around here it can happen anytime. I mean, it's, you know, we live in a place that's, you know, we joke sometimes on the show, we've got great weather, and we really do, but I mean, that means we don't get a lot of rain. So this is what happens when you don't have a lot of rain and you have a lot of dry brush and something, you know, somebody does something stupid. I don't even know what has started a lot of them. I know one was transients, you know, lighting fires to stay warm. So that's a typical thing that can happen. And, you know, they start out in the open areas, but then when we have, like now, high winds, really, really high winds, you know, 40, 60, 70, 80 miles an hour, it just, I mean, it blows embers really far and new ones start. And it's really hard for firefighters and things to get a handle on. And I mean, we even have, the state has its own, I mean, it has its own fire, you know, we've got CAL FIRE.
Right.
And it's just firefighters for the entire state, and they go wherever they need. And, you know, they've got huge water dropping planes, and they're amazing. I mean, the fact that we haven't lost more structures, and there's been very little, I think there's been some injuries. I don't know if I've heard about any lives lost yet. And hopefully that doesn't happen, but yeah, it's crazy.
You're safe though.
Yeah, we're totally safe. Well, I mean, again, it's, there's one about 10 miles from me. I mean, probably within 10 miles, maybe closer at this point. I don't know what happened overnight. So, I mean, I woke up and there's a really strong smell in the air. And I mean, you can see smoke. I came from bringing my kids back last night from their sports stuff. And as we came over the hill, you could just see the glow above the city skyline of two of the fires.
Jeez.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, stay safe, buddy.
It's close. Yeah, we're okay. We're not in any imminent danger, and if we're told to evacuate, we're ready to do that. But I don't think that's going to happen.
Cool. And last but by no means least, the only man that knows how to address the podcasting, Chuck Joyner.
Hello, Ewan. How are you?
I'm good, mate. All the better for seeing you. How the devil have you been?
I've been great. I'm not afraid. I'm happy I don't have any of the drama that Adam has. I certainly feel for him and all the people that are in the path of those fires. We're seeing a lot of news coverage here in my area of it, and the images are just unbelievable. Yeah. You know, it looks like straight out of something out of Hollywood. You just can't believe that, you know, this stuff is real.
Yeah. So I saw a picture of some guy, you know, drive down the highway with loads of pictures in front, and the whole hillside was just a mass of completely ablaze, and it looked horrible. And you got snow either, because we talked to Jeff last night in Boulder, and he was saying he's got no snow whatsoever in Colorado.
Yeah, we don't have snow yet, although funny you should say that. For the first time, all of a sudden, with no real warning, the forecasters were saying over the weekend we could get a little bit of a covering, so we'll see how good they are, but if anything, it's not going to be more than an inch or two. So it's just enough that people need to remember how to drive in snow again, because there's this strange thing that happens that people just totally forget that it's a good idea to slow down, and it takes far longer to stop in snow. They inevitably forget, and it just makes it triply dangerous.
My cousin in Detroit, and they deal with like lake effect snow, so it's massive over there. But he was saying that, he said the problem you get with people here is that they get cars that have got traction control, which help them get going, but they forget that they need to take longer to stop, and that doesn't change with traction control. So it's a pain in the butt.
Yeah, a lot of people here will buy four-wheel drives, you know, with the idea that, yeah, okay, I can go anytime. And they're right. They can pretty much go anytime. But stopping is still stopping. And that four-wheel drive does not help you stop.
Excellent. Well, I'm glad we're all well and all ready to go. Now then, fellas, we've got a bit of a kudos thing here. This is awesome. You remember a couple of weeks ago, do you remember I was complaining about podcasts not playing in the right order and not going in sequence?
Aye.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
What was in the last point update of iOS?
Yep.
See, someone at Apple is listening. I reckon it's Tim. Someone in Apple is listening to this podcast, and we have clearly got some major power. No, it's true. It's true.
No, I think it is. I believe so.
Yeah, no. So I say, hang on, fellas. It's not playing the podcasts in sequence. And everyone goes, oh, righto, you, and just make a playlist and shut up, you whinging old git. And lo and behold, Apple respond and they give us, now, when a podcast finished, the next podcast will play in order, it says in the point release.
Yeah. Should anybody really be using Apple's podcast app?
That's not the point.
If we're being honest.
Don't piss on my parade.
I actually do use it, but I know a lot of people really, really hate it.
I want to thank Fitz as well, because Fitz was on Twitter was the man that pointed out that I was right and it got taken up. So I think, fellas, what we should do is start off with...
Good job, Ewan.
No, exactly. I'm changing the world with this podcast, the Apple world anyway. So what I think we should do is I think we should have a round robin now where we go every week, what do we want changed? And we make it happen, because clearly we can. We have that power.
It's nice to see Tim Cook in the chat room. You can just address him directly right now.
Is he in there? He is. Tim Cook's in the chat room.
Yeah, yeah. Hello, Mr. Cook.
My God. You are welcome, Ewan, says Tim. He's in there.
Happy Christmas.
Oh, mate. Yeah. My bottom lips.
Some arranging, but we got it there, didn't we?
My bottom lips go. I'm going to get a screen grab of that before he disappears and changes his name properly back to whatever it is. It's got to be Muller, hasn't it?
It's not a bat wench, is it?
So here we go, fellas. Now we've got this power. Now we can change the world. What do you want changed? Who wants to start us off? What do you want? You want HomeKit changed? Phil Birch is here. One of our Slack roomers here, Phil. He came to the bash as well. Say hello, Phil. He doesn't want to take part in the podcast. He's a bit
shy. Hey, welcome.
But he's sitting in the window licker's seat. And he says that he wants HomeKit changing, because you don't get on with it, do you? He hates HomeKit, and I've got to say I don't particularly like it either. So,
what's wrong with HomeKit?
Do you want a mic? What's wrong with HomeKit in that I can relay quickly to Adam?
When you've got too many devices, it clogs up.
I don't have that many devices. That's maybe my problem.
So, how many devices are we talking here, Phil?
Well, I've got 13 new light bulbs.
Wow.
And 4 TP Link plugs.
Blimey.
Okay.
Oh, well, I mean...
He's very wealthy, isn't he?
17. Right.
He's very wealthy.
On top of that, I've also got all the light switches for all the rooms, as well as the movement sensor on one of the rooms.
So you've got movement sensors in all the rooms. You've got 17 devices and light switches.
Yeah.
Alexa, just to check it in or something,
Alexa,
yeah. Yeah, Amazon Echo.
Yeah.
So that's is that overlays? Come on, the chat, tech support that before we go on to power to change the world.
Well, and so what happens when it just gets overwhelmed and, like, stuff doesn't respond, or...?
He can't find it.
Yeah.
He can't even find the app on his phone at the minute.
He's been busy. It looks like he's been busy playing Jenga with his Mac Minis. Look, they're all stacked up. For people who can't see the video stream,
the Mac
he's got three Mac Minis all stacked on top of each other.
I would imagine with that many things, you've got to set up the...
So there you go. There's his camera, and it's just, look at that. That's like a game of... Do you remember Reversi?
God.
That's like Reversi, isn't it? With...
I was going to say, it reminds me of Lights On.
It's just hard to manage. So, I mean, you can set up, like, zones and groups of devices, though, right?
Yeah.
He's got that as well.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just my gosh. I've got five devices on the landing.
Oh,
it's
Christ.
What happens when you live in a mansion, you see.
I'm not trying to be flippant or anything, but, like, I don't know how else would you... What would make it better, I guess, is what I'm curious. Like, how would you change it to manage it better?
No idea. He's got no idea.
No there idea.
We okay.
So we need...
like, because, you know, engineers, they sit around and they think about this stuff, and you've got these tiles, and yeah, it's crazy. And when you have that many devices, I would imagine it is hard to find stuff. But I don't... They give you the ability to group them together, but as far as individual stuff goes, I mean, you can go by room. So if you have... Can't you go by room? So you have three lights in a room. You just go to that room and you only see those three.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've already got that.
He's already done that.
Oh, okay.
He's just got too many groups as well, I think. Yeah. Perhaps. Where's Brendan Moore when you bloody need him?
Well, and there are some third-party apps. I used to have the Home. Well, the original Home app before Apple took the name away from the developer. I don't know what it's called now. It's still called Home.
I think it's still Home, Adam. Yeah. At least the last time I checked.
But I haven't used it. I haven't used it in a while, so I don't know if it has a better interface or not. But. So really, it's about the software. It's not that HomeKit isn't working or doing what it's supposed to do. It's just that managing a large number of devices is cumbersome and needs some improvement, sounds like.
Okay. Tim's gone, apparently.
Yeah, he's bored. He's absolutely bored, isn't he?
Is that RedNet, then? So that's Rob that was doing it.
Well... And I'm not bored because I eventually want to expand my HomeKit stuff. I only have a couple lights, and I have through Homebridge my Nest and a few other things hooked up, and it seems to work reasonably well for me. But you know, I want to expand at some point, so I'm curious to know stuff like this.
Patrick is in the chat room. He says he's got TP-Link stuff, and it doesn't work with HomeKit yet. But you can use a Raspberry Pi to work around it.
Yeah, that's the Homebridge. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah,
that's how I get my Nest to be recognized.
And this is one of the points of if it's that hard to get HomeKit to work with everything, why don't you? Because the Amazon Echo doesn't, and it's got Zigbee in it now, so it doesn't even need any of that stuff, the bridge stuff. So you're laughing.
Just security.
Don't use friggin' HomeKit. There you go. Oh, he doesn't. Right, there we go.
I'm curious, how many devices does he have that absolutely just support HomeKit?
Well, it doesn't, so the Hue lights.
Hue are compatible, yeah, fully compatible. They were one of the first, actually.
Bridge 2, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay. We need to stop saying Alexa because she keeps switching on. We're going to have a load of toilet rolls before we know it. So getting back to what...
Interesting, yeah.
Yeah, we'll get Patrice on, and we'll get Patrice on that question. He can listen to the podcast. I'll tell him he's got to listen. What are we doing then? What are we going to change, fellas? Now we've got Tim's ear. What do you want changed in the Apple universe? James, you're not allowed to say MacBook Pros.
I know something I thought about this week is I want them to slow down the pace of innovation. Like, I think that all of us, in a lot of ways, are suffering from too much rapid updating. I think it's gotten crazy, just not even just with Apple, just in the tech community at large, like this incessant need for, like, new features and all these things have to do. And I think we're seeing that our devices and our software often suffer because of that, because it's like there's just like you're always trying to get to the next thing and not like fix the stuff that's not working. You know what I mean? Like, we need more of let's slow things down and get the stuff that we have now working really, really great before we go on to the next thing.
Well, I was sitting thinking back because we've been podcasting 10 years next year. And one of the things I was thinking was, you know, you go back to when we did the Mac Show to start with, and the Mac Show is only about 6 years of that. And there was an awful lot of stuff that just worked. And, that it just worked kind of did follow through. It wasn't Reality Distortion Field. But it'd be interesting if I did a poll of Twitter users now, how many people would say they've got an Apple device which doesn't just work, an Apple device. I'm not saying all Apple devices. You know, how many people have got an Apple device out of all the ones that they own which doesn't just work? Well, and I've got to say, I haven't at the moment. I'm pretty happy that most of my Apple devices are working fine. But then I haven't upgraded the Mac Pro. I haven't got one of the new watches. I haven't got one of the new phones. I've got the 7, which is very tried and tested and very workable. My iPads are rock solid at the moment. So I haven't got anything that doesn't just work. But there's an awful lot of people who can't say that.
Yeah. I mean, my iPhone 10 has been great, and it pretty much just works. Face ID, I think, needs a little improvements, but I just chalk that up to being a 1.0, you know, new technology, much in the same way Touch ID was when it was first released. So I don't have huge faults there. But it's just more that, you know, like, do we really need a new OS every year? I don't think we do anymore. I think, like, most stuff is working really, really well.
The OS isn't the selling point, though. I think they'd totally agree with you, because I think the problem that they've got into is they feel like the OS is a must-have, and it's not a selling point. I don't buy a new iPhone because there's a new OS that comes with it. I buy the new iPhone because I want a new phone.
Yeah, and I'm still running, you know, Sierra, and I don't see any need. And someone came up to me at my user group meeting this week and said, do I need to upgrade to High Sierra? And I, like, really thought about it, and I thought, well, I cannot point to any single feature in there, you know. And I know this was more of a maintenance update, so, you know, that was deliberate, and I applaud Apple for that. But I would say, why do they even put it out? Why not just wait another year, put in, you know, work on it some more, put in some new features? And, you know, why do we have to have a new OS every year? Why do we have to have a new phone every 6 months? Or, you know, like, I think just the pace of innovation has gotten nuts, and we get kind of these weird, not necessary features, and a lot of it comes along with a lot of bugs and quirks and stuff that's broken. And it's just, it's a rhetorical question, because the reason is because the media and analysts and stockholders and everybody, you know, like, demands this pace of innovation. But I think for consumers, it's ultimately becoming not good. You know, like, there's not a benefit to consumers. It's just so that we can sell the next thing, and we've got to sell the next thing every 6 months. Otherwise, we're considered irrelevant and moving too slowly. And I think that attitude needs to change.
Yeah, I'm not liking the strong arming as well on OSs. I know there's security requirements, and they're very keen to get people to upgrade because of security requirements. But something that was quite interesting was I've stuck to Sierra on my production machine, and I've not gone to it deliberately because I'm not sure about Wirecast and a few other things working on it. And something interesting changed today after I did an update. Excuse me. It said, previously when I've got notifications in the corner, it says it's got software to upgrade. And when it comes to High Sierra, it says, would you like to download High Sierra because it's available?
Yep.
Today, it changed to, would you like to install High Sierra? And I went and looked, and sure enough, Apple have felt the need to take away 5 gig of my disk space by putting OS 10 down as High Sierra as a download. It's downloaded it without me saying yes to it and stuffing it on my hard drive. And I got a real problem with that, because 5 gig's a lot of space to steal. If you're on something like James is on a MacBook Air or something, 5 gigs is huge.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not...
Did you check your settings in the system preferences to make sure the download newly available updates in the background is not turned on?
I deliberately haven't got auto updates on it because of the fact that I didn't want it because of production issues. So,
Yeah. I want to go back.
You double verified that didn't get turned back on by accident or by Apple, maybe.
Yeah, I'll go and check now while Chuck makes his point.
Yeah, I want to go back to what Adam said, because I think I disagreed with him right up to the point that he brought up the media and the stockholders and all of that. Apple, I mean, for a long time, Apple didn't have this pace of advancement. And, you know, the media was saying, well, Samsung has done this and Windows has done that. And when's Apple going to catch up? When's Apple going to catch up? And In fact, I just saw something this morning about, I guess it's one of the camera features in the Androids that Apple needs to get this done. And it's like, the iPhone X is right out of the box, and yet you're saying there's something that, you know, well, we're not number one, or we're not, you know, according to you, it needs to be upgraded. And I think, I mean, I think we're all at fault, but I really do place some of the blame on the media and the pundits here that they pushed so hard on this. And it really, I mean, at some point, let's be pragmatic about it. It's fine for what it is. You know, okay, so Apple has a 20 megapixel camera and Samsung comes up with a 21. Oh my God, Apple is not, you know, at the top of the heap. That's just crazy.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about. I'm talking about this pressure to constantly innovate that I think comes at the detriment of consumers. Like they're only doing it so they can one up the other guy, and there's not a lot of, in a lot of cases, there's not a lot of benefit, and in most cases there's, you know, you end up with things being rushed out and features not working, and the consumer suffers ultimately.
I think you really got to look at going on Adam's point again. Things like Siri, obviously, because I'm at home quite a bit now and I'm using Siri all the time for lots of things. I'm trying to get into use of all this home automation. I've got lights and I've got the phone, I've got the Apple TV and all the other bits and pieces. And it's that thing that always surprises you. Like I asked my Mac the other day, hey, Squidgy, please set a timer for 10 minutes. And she turned around and said, I can't do that, but I can set a reminder for you. And you kind of think, you cannot set a timer on my £2,500 laptop. You know, we're trying to get into a way that when we speak to a digital assistant that we are using the same terminology all the time. But when you suddenly hit with a roadblock, like I can't set a timer, unbelievable. I mean, again, this morning I was trying to use my Apple TV. I'm having great fun with the jazz Christmas playlist, because you know, at this time of year, we're all listening to the same music songs. But if you actually ask, hey, Squidgy, play jazz Christmas songs, it just stares at me and does nothing. My Apple TV just did nothing. It says playing songs, but it didn't ask the same thing on my iPhone only a fraction later, and it can do it. Can it mirror it to my Apple TV? Oh yes, it can do that. So reset my iPhone, reset my Apple TV, ask the same questions again, Squidgy, please play me a jazz Christmas playlist, and just sits there. And you kind of think, well, what's going on? If we concentrated more on the things that were supposed to work easily and with our help, I think we'd all be a lot happier.
Yeah.
The thing with Siri, I mean, Siri's a bag of shit for me. I was going to a place called Cole Hall Lane in Chardin the other night to give a guy some money. And I said, you navigate to Cole Hall Lane, because I knew where it was. I know roughly where it is, but not exactly. And it was just like the number of places that Siri tried to go to. And the thing that annoyed me the most was, out of four attempts, on three of those, she programmed the route and started the navigation. So now I've got to take my eyes off the road to go, piss off, that's not where I want to go. And I ended up pulling over, and I just switched it off. It was just like, I can't be doing with that. It just did not function at all for me. And Tim, sort Siri out. For Christ's sake, sort Siri out. And that probably won't be the next point update. That's going to be next year.
Well, okay, so now I can blame you, right, for Siri now not working for me either, because it was working great until iOS 11, and that's now it's just gone
that's
to
right.
garbage.
They've been saying, because I'm so influential, right, because I'm so influential, now they're taking all the voice prints that I make with Siri and saying, well, this is the way that people must want to talk because everyone follows you in. There you go, that's right.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I heard some news, I think it was this year, that they said that they were actually starting all over again. With the advent of HomePod, you know, on the eventual horizon, they were starting all over again. Not without revealing my sources too much, but I know the testing that went into HomePod. And it just wasn't working. The voice control of it just wasn't working due to accents, etc. And it's kind of one of those things you just think, well, it should just, it, you know, the amount of people looking at this thing, surely Apple know it isn't working. And is there something in the background that we just don't know about that they're actually working on? And is this why maybe HomePod has been delayed?
Every other voice assistant works.
No, HomePod has been delayed because exactly what we're talking about. The fact that there's this pressure and this demand to add features, to innovate, to one-up the other guy. The history of that product, as far as I've been hearing it, is it was some of the Mac audio engineers, and they wanted to make a speaker. They wanted to make an awesome wireless speaker was what they wanted to build. And then at some point, Amazon did the Echo, and they freaked out. You know, and they said, oh, well, we've got to do this. And now they go to this speaker team and they're like, no, you got to glob a voice assistant in here. Yeah, right. And so now it's like back to the drawing board, all this work we've been doing. And now we've got to shoehorn this new feature in here that's not something that was ever originally designed to do or be. And I guarantee you the delay happened because it's not working well, because they tried to stuff something into a project that wasn't part of it. You know, and now it's got to work great, and it's got to be better than what the other guy is doing, and it's insanity. Like, why can't we just have a really good wireless speaker?
Because then,
like, what's so bad about that?
Because then they can't charge $400 for it.
Yeah.
And I want to throw in that, you know, the other wireless assistants don't work like they do in the commercials. I mean, they're good, but I'm fascinated by you and Adam are having problems with Siri. Siri is at least as good, if not better, for me than I got to be careful of the Amazon device.
Echo.
don't want to call her name out. Mm. You know, I mean, the number of times I will say, ask the Amazon device to play a particular artist, that I get something completely offbeat is a whole lot more than if I ask Siri to play something by that same artist and she nails it. So I don't know. I don't know if it's, like you said, the accents or our speech patterns or whatever, but it does seem that some people have consistent problems and others it works really well for.
I think there is something with language and syntax as well. So if I'm in the car, I like Bruce Hornsby. So if I say, Siri, play Bruce Hornsby, I get one track played and that's it. But if I say, hey, Siri, play some Bruce Hornsby, There you go. Thanks very much. Apologies, everyone. I do get lots of Bruce Hornsby. But with Amazon, I don't have to worry about that syntax. I just have to say, play some Bruce Hornsby, and that's it. She does it. And the syntax of what I have to say is irrelevant to Echo. Whereas it seems to be critical to Siri in certain outputs that it gives.
Ewan, is it irrelevant, or is it just a matter of programming that if you say play some, okay, that means you want more than one. If you say play Bruce Hornsby, then it's programmed to say, okay, he only wants to hear one track. I mean, that I don't see that. I don't know that its syntax is irrelevant in that sense. It's just somebody somewhere has made a choice to say, this is what this means, this is what this means. And that we have to learn it.
Yeah, no, I, it just seems irrelevant that syntax should make that much difference in my head, that's all. In terms of, you know, the thing should work as people expect principle, that shouldn't make that much difference. I know what I mean, and I expect it to know what I mean, and Alexa knows what I mean, and Siri doesn't know what I mean. That's my point.
Yeah.
I'm not. Okay. I can't get into the final points of programming because I'm an idiot. So, you know,
it's intense. Yeah, it's intense, and it's different interpretations of intense. And for you, what Amazon has done in terms of its logic related to that, I think works a lot better.
Yeah,
it's for the way that your brain works. And I mean, that's one of the huge challenges when you're talking about these systems, right? Is like everybody's different, and everybody's going to want to interact differently, and there's no. You know, it's the interpretation of the language, right? So, you know, by some accounts, what Chuck's saying makes sense, but at the same time, what you're saying makes sense. Like, you know, I want it to work this way, and you can see the logic in both. But at a certain point, it's a binary thing, right? Someone has to make a call and say, this means this and this means that. And it's just, you know, a human or a team of engineers that ultimately make a choice, and that impacts some people one way and some people another way.
statistical survey that I run, however, is that I see potentially, you know, orders of magnitude greater of people saying Siri is shit than Siri is great. So
I think it goes
you have to bring culture into it too, though.
And some people are
very clear that you guys have a different interpretation of how things, you know, how language goes, than even though we speak the same dialect, right? Intent and speech patterns and things are very different. And so maybe that's something they're not accurately accounting for. I'm assuming your poll is more UK people than US people.
No, I'm just talking about what I anecdotally see in the Slack room and in Twitter. You know, it's right. There's a lot more people complaining about it than not saying anything.
But I think it goes, not to go too on about it, but the fact that if you ask, hey, Squidgy, set a timer on your MacBook, and it doesn't know what you mean, or says, I can't do that, yet it can do on your phone.
Yeah, that's not a syntax issue.
No, I mean, that's what I'm saying, the consistency. We're trying to make a language here that we can all use, we can all, you know, all converse with our things, and it should be conversing across everything. Now, obviously, Sue doesn't know how to create a timer on a Mac, but it knows how to set a reminder. So who actually programmed that and says, oh, yeah, we can't do that? Right. What? Yeah, are you crazy?
Insane. And there's certainly things like that. And to be clear, you know, my recent issues with Siri, and I'm bringing this up partly because I want to hear from other people to see if they're having this problem. And just to clarify for you, Chuck, because maybe you haven't heard this, what has happened since iOS 11 is I can't use the Ola Siri in the car anymore. When I'm playing podcasts or music. So Apple, as far as I can figure out, Apple has tweaked either the background noise cancellation or whatever it might be, and it only works about maybe 10% of the time will it actually activate. I actually have to physically pause music or whatever and then give a command, which I never had to do before. It always worked flawlessly for me. And then secondarily to that, in that 10% of the time when it does work, it seems like it's not deactivating. It's not waiting for the music or the podcast to pause, because what will happen is it'll pick up the first few words from the podcast. And then what I've said to Siri gets completely misinterpreted because she hears two of the words of, you know, somebody said on the podcast, and then she hears what I'm asking. And it's just totally confused and gone to total garbage.
Yeah.
So
we spent 32 minutes and we haven't done a story yet.
Passion. It's passion.
Classic
Mac. That's great. That's perfect. That's a good show.
Amazon Prime TV app comes to your Apple TV. I had a play last night, and yes. I have to say I am over the moon because someone in our house has tidied away the Amazon Fire remote control. And that means that the box is completely frigging useless now. So I'm over the moon. I've got this. So I've got a chance of watching the Grand Tour now tonight when I get back. Well done, Amazon, and well done, Apple, for sorting your differences out and getting this one in. Anyone else had a play?
I love it.
Yeah, I've had a go, in France. I obviously just registered the device with Apple to say I'm using my Apple TV to use with it. And I got to watch a free 4K... a space station show, so it works in France, which is great for me. That's a bonus. I'm a little bit sad about the interface. It feels really slow. Doesn't feel like it's brought anything new to the table. That's one thing I found.
It's quite.
I was
Netflix,
really excited for it, but I was very disappointed by the way it actually gives you those shows and that information. It almost feels like it should be done on a smaller device. I don't know, because I've only got a 40-inch TV, but it feels like it's all crammed to the top left-hand corner as opposed to using the whole screen, but that's just me.
Yeah. Chuck, I've
played with it last night just briefly. I haven't had a chance to really watch anything extended, but I did install it. And because I'm a Prime subscriber, it's great because now it just makes getting to that content so much easier. So, yeah, it's a shame that there had to be such a hassle to get it there, but at least, as you said, whether it's Amazon or Apple, however it worked out, they got it there. And it feels like it's going to be interesting to see what it does to the Fire TVs, You know, because I just saw Deadpan in the chat room say that he unplugged his Fire TV after getting it. So
yeah, no, that's what I think that's going to be a response of 90% of the people is thank God, and just unplug it. Yeah. And that's it. I'm away.
Yeah.
Here's the thing you need to ask Tim in the chat for, Ewan,
he's gone.
Getting the TV app in the UK, because what makes this brilliant for me is that they didn't go halfway on it. They fully implemented it and integrated it with the TV app and Up Next. So, you know, speaking to James's point, I don't go through the app. I go through the TV app, and it's brilliant. It's just there with all my other stuff. You know, so I don't even use the Amazon interface. I use the Apple TV app interface.
Yeah, I mean, there's a good point from Deeppan again here. Amazon don't care about the Fire TV being unplugged, as they only made it to sell the online content anyway. So where the online content's coming from. The only thing that's interesting for me is the purchases, because if you buy through the Amazon Prime TV app, are you going to get charged a higher price because the 30% to Apple? Or is it not 30% to Apple? They're taking less now, which is why there's been the holdup, et cetera.
And it's worse. I don't think you can't buy directly through the app, can you?
Can't you? That's okay. I didn't know that.
You have to go to Amazon.com. If you want to buy a movie or rent a movie, you've got to go to Amazon.com in your browser. Right. Then it will show up. It will show up in the app. But I'm pretty sure you have to buy it outside the ecosystem.
So that was going to be my next question, because I've got two films that I bought in Prime, and I didn't check last night to see whether they were there and available to watch.
Yeah, they'll be there.
Right.
Yep.
So you're there.
If you use the new Movies Anywhere, all of your movies that you've registered with Movies Anywhere will be in there as well.
So you need to keep your Fire TV plugged in so that you can buy stuff through that.
Or just keep your phone by you, or you know, you need a browser nearby. Yeah, that part sucks, and they need to get that argument sorted too.
We've now got OK Google in the chat room.
But I kind of like the idea that I have to go to my phone to buy, because that means that I'm going to have the security of Apple Pay. Somebody can't just walk into my house and start buying movies for me.
But
is that really a concern, Chuck?
Chuck's open house. We have a
title. You haven't seen my house, Adam. You know, no.
Someone's going to walk in and start buying stuff off Amazon.
I'm thinking Apple more TV. Kids, though, than like anything. Saying, oh, you know, yes, I would like to see, you know, 23 seasons of My Little Pony, and you come home and shoot yourself.
that's it.
No, but if they did implement it, I assume there would be a deal between Apple, because it's all about the fees, right? The reason Amazon doesn't let you buy through the app is because they would have to give... They have a better deal, I think, 15%. They'd have to give 15% to Apple right up front, because they have to use Apple's purchasing API in the app, and they don't want to do that. So that's why that is. So even if they did implement it, if they sorted it out and implemented it, you would still be using Apple Pay. You'd still be going through Apple's purchasing APIs in the app on the Apple TV, and it would just be a better experience.
So there's no longer things like the Manson family running around killing people. It's now just changed into bands of youths walking into people's homes and downloading every episode of Dora the Explorer.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That's it. I prefer that, I have to say. That's better trick-or-treating than anything else I've seen.
That's funny.
Someone broke into our house and downloaded every single episode of Dora the Explorer. I want to know who it is. I want to bring back capital punishment in Pennsylvania for downloading Dora the Explorer.
You better believe it.
The death penalty for anyone who messes with Chuck's TV.
Yeah.
We've done the High Sierra thing. Consumer Reports has ranked the iPhone below the iPhone 10, below the iPhone 8. Mostly because of issues relating to durability, or the fact that it's glass and it smashes like crap, and battery life. And I've got to say, the one thing I am hearing from people consistently is they absolutely adore the way it looks and feels, but they are complaining about battery life quite severely on the 10.
On the iPhone 10?
I've not heard any complaints about battery on the 8.
I haven't noticed any problems other than when I'm running really like graphically intensive apps. And there's some games out there that are really taking advantage of the GPU and the high power of the phone, you know, the iPhone right. 10. And James, when those things are running, I mean, battery life is
James recommended Grid decimated. Last week. Dude, I can't even play that when I'm plugged in.
It's red hot, doesn't it?
Oh,
my phone is on fire. I've got a 7 and gorgeous. It goes on fire.
You need capacitive touch leather gauntlets to play that.
Got the oven gloves on with your iPhone.
Mate.
Yeah. Yeah. But outside of that, I mean, I'm getting expected battery life out of it. Like I can go, you know, a day and a half or so probably with normal usage, no problem.
Mark Sissons.
I'm glad to hear that because I have the same experience, Adam. You know, it's, yeah, I can burn it down if I'm doing something, you know, like you said, very intensive. But for the most part, it's a non-issue. It's at least as good as my 7 Plus was.
Yeah.
Wow, that's good. That's a good thing. I picked mine up on the 14th, so I'm really looking forward to giving it a good pasting because, you know, when you go to the Apple Store and you pick up the iPhone 10, it is a lovely thing to look at and hold, but I think until you get your own apps on it and see how it performs, you really can't judge it. You can't call it really. But I certainly know my iPhone 7 inside out. I haven't used it for a good year, and I absolutely love it. I love the form factor. I used to have a Plus on every phone I bought. I changed my phone every year. This is the first year where I went to just the standard 7 and standard size, and I love it. I love the form factor. It's fabulous. Yeah. So I'm really looking forward on the 14th to get my 10.
I saw one at a networking group on Thursday, and it did look nice. I have to say, it did look very nice.
Oh, yeah. You're turning?
No, I'm not turning. I'm all right. I don't use half of what goes on the Release 7 at the moment, so I don't need to worry about that. Now, I have seen Phil's 8, and Phil's bought an iPhone 8. He's got an iPhone 8 Plus. And one of the things that was quite interesting, I don't know whether this is going to show, he's got the leather case on his. Here we go.
Ooh.
And he showed me, he said, all I do is take it out of the case if I want to just give it a clean over. But he's already got lots and lots of little micro scratches all over the back. He says that the back is not good. It's absolutely covered, and you can't see them from what I've just shown you there, but it's like the logo's got little pits on it, and for a phone that's been in a case consistently since the day it was bought, it's a bit shit, I have to say.
Well, that's pocket lint for you. You know, I spent half of my 10-year Apple career picking with a pair of tweezers stuff out of people's headphone jacks.
Yeah.
True story.
No, I'm sure you did. It's But that was an interesting thought. But there you go.
So that's on an 8?
That's on the 8, yeah, the 8 Plus.
It's a glass.
Does the 10 have different glass than the 8? Do we know?
Well, I think it must do if the durability is a factor. No? That's just a logical thought. It wasn't.
Well, I just pulled mine out of the case, which is, it's been in the case since I got it, and I don't see a single scratch on it.
No. So yeah. I don't know. It stands to reason that if you're going to bring out a 10 at $1,300 and an 8 at $1,000, you're going to put the better glass on the $1,300 device, perhaps.
Yeah, I just don't know if they have the same glass or not. But I'm not noticing micro abrasions on this one. I know that was a problem with the jet black 7s, right? Mm-hmm. But that wasn't glass. That was,
well, is Phil's glass?
Finish on metal.
It is glass.
Yeah, yeah, the 8s are glass.
Right,
yeah.
Okay. It's not just a very high density polymer.
No, so it's got contactless charging, or wireless charging.
It's got wireless charging in it. So, yeah, no, so that's if Consumer Reports are mentioning durability, there's got to be something different between the structures of the two.
So, yep.
That's all I can.
Well, I think there are, because I think when Apple announced the 10, they said it was the strongest glass rate that they've ever put in a phone.
Yeah.
If I'm remembering.
But it's still glass.
Right. Yeah.
Apple plummets, not my words, Mac Rumor's words, to lowest rank ever in Glassdoor's annual list of the best places to work. Now, I've got to say, because we've got Doc here who's an ex-employee, we've got James who's an ex-employee, we've got Will, who's an ex-employee, and they all said it's the best place they've ever worked. and yet it's now 84th best in the world.
Still not too bad.
I haven't seen the rest of the list, but
I'm going to say that certainly for I was, you know, 10 years there, I worked up from specialist to FRS, which is kind of like mini genius stroke creative. Yeah, creative at the end as well. And I worked on a business team as well. Now, each of those jobs had their own issues. Okay, so you dealt with different customers. And I would say that if I had to be a genius, I would probably prefer to put hot pokers in my eyes to be a genius. I would hate it. But then I worked with people who thought that being a creative was the worst thing in the world. And so there's definitely people who thrive at being geniuses, and there's people who definitely thrive at being a creative. And I think Apple is very good at making sure you fit those roles. But I would say after a certain amount of time, any of those roles can eventually get to you. Just like any job, you know, any job becomes the same. I mean, there's only so many Apple passwords you can reset, you know, for people. And of course, the same conversations pop up over and over again. So it's your ability, I think, to almost, don't get me wrong, I know some of my friends have left Apple and they've not enjoyed their time. And normally it's because they've been there too long. I think Apple's a great job for 5 years, maybe seven. I mean, I did 10 and I loved it because I put that down to being a creative. I love teaching people stuff. I love workshops, but certain people, I think, you know, just fall at the hurdle.
You know, there's an interesting thing. What I would like to know about this study is there's very different parts of Apple now, right? You have the corporate and you have the retail. And as far as I know, like, most people who work in retail just don't like it. And I'm with you, James. I think you can handle it for a certain period of time, but then it just it grates on you. Like, I've never met anybody who has worked in retail that has said, oh, yeah, working in retail is the best thing ever. You know, like, there's usually. So, you know, I'm curious if the numbers are coming down because Apple is severely, there's probably more people working in Apple retail than, I don't know this for a fact, but I would assume there's more people employed by Apple retail than there is by corporate at this point.
Oh, definitely.
And I wonder if that's pulling that number down to a certain degree, because I bet you there's a lot more people that are unhappy working at that side of Apple than maybe with corporate. I always hear great things from people in corporate, and I hear great things from people in retail. Like, as far as retail goes, most people that I've talked to that have worked in retail at different places and then worked at Apple retail, they say hands down Apple retail is like a million times better than any other retail job that they've had. But that doesn't necessarily mean that it's great, you know, it's great and wonderful, because again, at the end of the day, it's still retail.
And you have people that it's no longer the glamorous job at Apple. It's now a retail job. And it, as you said, it may be a great retail job, but it's still a retail job. I mean, I've no disparaging intended, absolutely not, because the service has always been great. But I've gone into Apple stores, and there are times you can tell that this person is really, you know, an Apple person. And then there are other times that it's just this person is a very polite, very efficient, very good clerk. And that's right. Okay. Yeah. But, you know, it just means that it may not be the same experience for them as it might be for us or for someone that really is into it.
Yeah, you can also really tell, James, when you get a guy that's been there for a year or two versus the guy that's at that fifth year point or gal, and they're just like, I'm so ready to be out of here. Like, what do you need? you can tell. Just like, yeah, you either didn't have a good day today, like a bunch of customers came in and were total a-holes to you, and I feel for you at this point. But, yeah. Because you always have to be on in retail, right? And that's a hard thing to do, especially, again, when you've had a day when, you know, every customer's come in and just berated you. You know, like you broke their phone and you're responsible for everything. I mean, as a podcaster, I even get that some days when I just get emails from people and, you know, they're angry that Apple has wronged them in some horrific way. You know, and I get that they just want to vent, and I'm happy to be that venting point. But you get enough of that, and you know, it starts to bring you down. You know, and you start to get depressed. So it's easy to fall into that trap. And I can only imagine what that's like at an Apple retail store.
So I don't want to say too much, but having spoken to a genius recently with an issue that I had, one of the things that they found frustrating was their ability to make change when they could clearly see there was something wrong had disappeared, right. And it had to be referred to a manager at first instance, or there were certain things they weren't even allowed to review to a manager because they weren't allowed to change it. It had to be repaired. And it was that the brown box world is less available to the Genius Bar now than it ever used to be. Most certainly.
Yeah.
And the thing that's interesting in the study is Apple trails well behind other people. And this is the interesting thing. It's not the fact of where Apple is and it's 85th in the list. It's the people it's behind. So first place is Facebook. I don't get that, but okay. Fifth place is Google. Heard lots of good things about Google. Fair
Free
enough.
Food.
21st place is LinkedIn. 31st place is Adobe. Okay, fair enough. 39th place is Microsoft. Okay, mm-hmm. But I'm starting to feel a little bit more tenuous now. And Apple is 20 places below working at Yahoo. And I just don't frigging believe that. I cannot believe that.
Again, I would really like to see the study separated where they only talk to and rank Apple corporate versus all of Apple and see what the difference is. Because every one of those companies you're talking about is a corporate tech company.
Yeah,
and you're talking about the people working on their campus. And, you know, they have health facilities and gyms and free food, as James was mentioning, like gourmet food from multiple restaurants. And, like, you know, those things make people really, really happy.
Yeah.
I would say, you know, just to echo Adam, definitely I'd spent, I think, probably 8 weeks in total at Infinite Loop One working as an employee testing at Apple Watch when it was about to be released. So we did lots of custom testing there. And the environment there was just out and out magical, and I really mean that. It was you wasn't doing retail, you were working for Apple corporate. You're absolutely right, we had a beer fest on a Friday, so that was free beer, free food. I mean, you do pay at Cafe Max, but some of the events on a Friday are just insane. You do feel like you're on a different planet when you're working for the corporate side.
I think you've
nailed it there, Adam. I think this obviously comes from just pure retail. It must be.
If you speak to anyone who's been to the Apple canteen or who says, yeah, but it's only an Apple canteen, it's only a works canteen. No, it isn't. It really isn't. I've been there and eaten there, and it isn't. It's brilliant.
No.
The food is incredible. The diversity is huge. The taste of the food's excellent. It's not mass-produced crap. I just think, you know, you're really 20 places worse than Yahoo, because Yahoo's gone through the ringer the last couple of years. I can't believe environmentally that it's better. But
do you know anybody who works for you? I know people who work for Yahoo, though, and I know what the environment at the corporate campus is like, and it's great. I mean, like, these tech companies, because they have to really compete for engineers and workers and stuff like that, they like pull out all the stops.
Yeah.
And so it's such a different experience. And again, none of these companies are running massive retail operations like Apple is, and so I have a feeling that number is really being pulled, you know, down. And again, that's not a hit on their retail. I think they do a really great job at retail, and I know a lot of people that work at retail that really love it, but it is they're really two different animals. And I think there's not an apples to apples comparison going on here. No pun intended.
I see what you did there. Excellent, mate. This podcast, Neil Lizzie, is brought to you by UK2. Please, please, please check them out and support them, because they do a marvellous job looking after us. 10 years nearly now they've been with us, and we're still signed up for another 8 years on the server system with them. So please check them out. Look forward to anything you want for the domains, the VPS, VPN, co-location services, anything of that type of stuff, buy it off them. And as Patrick Quirk said in our Slack room a few weeks ago, they are without doubt the best he'd seen for after-sales support. So please check them out and please use them. It doesn't matter where you are in the world, you can get UK2 stuff and you can get their support online as well. They're absolutely marvellous. The Uniku machine are hitting in January to your local opticians. I'm going to get my geometrically disproportionate shagged up nose re-scanned in January after the Christmas rush finishes. So hopefully by early start of February I might have a set of glasses to show you. The other thing that's really cool about those at the moment is that the O-Green glasses range is in now, which is absolutely gorgeous. Completely different styles of frames that look stunning, really, really good. And you can choose what you want. They are awesome. Give them a go. Would you like to win a Spider 5 thing as well? Yes, you can. All you have to do is send an email this time. No silly question to answer. Just send an email to Spider 5 competition in the heading and put in your name and address, and we will send you a Spider 5 if you are the lucky winner, which we will pick out next week, or I won't. Santa will. So there you go. Do the usual thing with that and send us an email to britishtechnetwork@gmail.com. And also, please, 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 if you like to support us through Patreon, you can. It's more than welcome. But if not, then please look at our subscriptions now, which we've got sorted out on PayPal. britishtechnetwork.com/subscriptions, and you can do a $5, $10, or $20 a month contribution to BTN, and we will be giving in January. We'll start a process whereby we start to give out exclusive content to the people that are subscribers that you can get a hold of that won't be available to everyone else. So please have a look at that. We do all of this free of charge. We don't take loads and loads of advertising revenue in from anyone. And if you want to keep us free, then we're going to do our very best to keep it that way, plain and simple. But stuff does wear out. The bash has got to be paid for. Microphones need to be paid for. Cameras and that type of stuff. So please, please look after us. And thanks to everyone who dived in last year on the Mac Mini thing, because that made a massive difference to us, having a perfect set of Mac Minis to work with. Right. It's time for the cool thing. Start us off, Monsieur Rickards.
Yes, yes, yes. I'm keeping a keen eye on iTunes over the past week or so, as they're running this 31 days of deals. So iTunes, the movie store. And if you look at the Slack room the past week, I've been tweeting that there must have been a faux pas, because what happened is Apple put 10 thriller movie collection and 10 comedy movie collection, both for £10 each. So that's 10 films for £10.
Cool.
Which means there's 20 films for £20. And I was a bit like, oh, that's strange. 10 films for £10. Some of these were like 4K content, The Reverend, you know, Oscar Award winner, Budapest Hotel. Some really, really good things. So I ummed and ahed, woke up the next day, and they both shot up to £39 each.
Oh,
so now,
no.
So now it's 80, because I'm a bit gutted I missed it. Anyway, a few days passed and I kept checking, and all of a sudden they were back to both being £10 again. So again, £10 for 10 films, 20 films in total for £20. So obviously I bought them straight away. Now, interesting things happen now. If you go to iTunes movie store at the moment, you'll find that 10 comedy movies are indeed £10, but the 10 thriller films are £39. So whether somebody messed up over the Christmas period and wasn't quite getting their sums right. So I've snagged, you know, 20 films are £20, which I think is an absolute bargain. But if you want to grab 10 comedy films at the moment, they are in iTunes. They are number one at the moment. So get it before Apple realizes they've already made a mistake. Although, you know, 10 thriller films might be coming up soon, maybe tomorrow. But for today, 10 comedy films for £10.
Excellent, mate. Just as a word of training, do stick your link in before you start talking. Hey, there's a good fellow.
Sorry, you know, I've been doing this long.
You were sitting bullshitting your way through that because you hadn't done the link, weren't you? Go on, own up.
No, I've had a page open since we started. You know, the page in the Slack room, but honestly, jump on it. The Grand Budapest Hotel and The Reverend, well worth your money, for sure.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. Adam, what do you have for us, sir?
I am actually going to pick a game from a developer that you've picked a game from. You picked Really Bad Chess.
Yeah, exactly.
Same developer makes a solitaire game that I tried out recently called Flip Flop Solitaire. And it's a kind of a spin on a solitaire game. I guess he's done a couple of them. I think this is his newest one, his second solitaire game. But the main difference is you only have 5 piles of cards. And normally, you know how you can stack cards up, you know, going from or down, I guess. You can normally stack them down, right? 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. You can also go in the reverse direction. And then any suited stacks that you have, you can actually move between. So it changes up the rules a little bit, makes it a little bit easier. And the way I guess it works out mathematically is that 90% of the games that you will get dealt out are actually winnable if you can figure it out.
Oh, right.
So it changes the odds a little bit so that it makes it more likely that you could win. That doesn't mean that you're going to win 90% of your games. It just means that 90% of them, if you make the right moves, would be winnable, which is a higher odds than you would get with traditional solitaire. And what's cool is they start out you, because you have the ability to move only suited stacks. When you first start out, the kind of first level is you only get cards that are all the same suit. And then you can, as you work your way up, switch to two suits and then three suits and then four suits to make it more challenging for yourself. So I just started playing it. It's got a great design to it. The guy's a brilliant developer, as near as I can tell from you know, a couple of great games that he seems to have put out. It's free to download and ad-supported. If you want to unlock levels, you either have to work your way up or pay $2.99 to unlock the entire game and remove ads. So,
okay,
free to try, $2.99 to own. I just ended up paying $3 because I don't like dealing with that stuff. But it's not like an in-app purchase. It's not like you're having to constantly buy unlocks or something like that. It's a one-time $2.99 fee. So
excellent, mate. Good stuff. Chuck, what do you have for us?
Well, I have a story for you. Oh. This is a hard drive, okay? And This is the holiday season, and nothing will hurt your holiday season more than a dead hard drive, because this hard drive is dead. I came home last night, and there was a little red light blinking in my Drobo that said this hard drive was dead. And ordinarily, you would panic because you think, oh, my God. But I had an extra hard drive. I popped this out. I popped a new one in. And in a few hours, all the lights were green, and I have no problems. So I want to go back and recommend, it's an oldie but a goodie, pick a Drobo, any Drobo, Direct Connect, network attached storage, but the idea that you can set these Drobos for one, maybe two, or up to two drives to fail and still protect your data is just massive. I mean, you know, if you have one, if you are storing things on one hard drive and that drive goes bad, you're toast. But with a Drobo, you've got single or double redundancy. You've got this huge pile of storage just sitting there. I sleep very well at night knowing that I can solve this problem. And if I'd had to, I'd have run out to the local big box store and bought an extra drive, come home, stick it in. I happen to have one, so I didn't even have to make that trip. But you sitting there, okay, that little red light is blinking, so I know things are not the way they should be, but I also know the data's safe. So Drobo at Drobo.com, that's where you got to go and get this stuff.
Excellent, mate. I don't speak ill of them anymore because I had a bad experience with them, but I'm sure they're not the same thing anymore. So Drobo, I must give them another go, actually, because I've got network attached storage here. I've got the Synology stuff, though, which I've just had a drive go down. So.
Synology's good too. If you want that as an option, yeah, I have both, and I like both, and they both work great, and they both do what they're supposed to do. The Synology, I think, is a little more technical. I mean, the UI is not as simple as Drobo, but they both offer the same thing. I think you can do more with the Synologies, a little bit more than with the Synologies. I know some of the Drobo models do have the apps, but I think there's not quite as many features as when you want to get into that more like, I want to run a server on here. I want to do, you know, I don't know, Docker instances or something like that, you know, if you're a developer.
Yeah, it's just the idea for me with the Drobo is, you know, I don't want to run a lot of those apps. I want the storage and I want it secure. And that's what it does for me so well.
Yeah, and that's what I like about my Drobos is they're dead simple. I mean, if you're just going to use them as backup storage, and I've always gone with the direct connected ones. I know some people occasionally have had issues with the network ones, but I think, like you and like you're saying, I think a lot of that stuff has been sorted out.
Yeah. So, Truk, how much storage have you got on that Drobo? How much active storage?
In that particular Drobo, I think I have 12 terabytes, but I also have numerous Drobos around the office here. So
12 terabytes, that's over 1,000 episodes of Dora the Explorer that I can get on there.
thanks Ewan, that's I've never thought of measuring storage in that particular metric.
And that's in 4K as well, man.
Yeah, good.
When Swiper goes swiping, mate, you're going to see it real time. You can see those little individual hairs sticking out. It's great.
I thought actually I was using mine to archive all the back episodes of BTN.
Oh, mate. Oh, love you.
Oh, he's a good man.
You're a kiss ass, but I do love you. Michael, I want to say thanks to Rob Lines of Activate Computing. He's a lovely, lovely guy who's a BTN man. And if you want to know anything about home automation and how to do it properly so the home does it for you rather than you having to tell it to do it, then you need to look out, Rob. Some of the projects he's shown me have been unreal. I mean, just stuff like there's a set of blinds and the home knows that when the sun comes up, it knows how far the blinds have to be pushed out just to keep your room in shade. And then the blinds track round, changing their depth relative to where the sun is, and then go back in at the end of the night too. It's just simple. It's stuff that's unreal. It's unreal. He's done my alarm here. I've got a Loxone alarm system where I can set it on my phone, and if it goes off, I get a notification on my phone. I get a phone call in the middle of the night from an automated message in Germany that tells me that the place is being broken into, and it plays a song out of me Sonos that's just so... It's a Dora the Explorer thing, actually, that means that you have to leave, otherwise you can't cope with it. What he's also put me onto is the Meraki stuff from Cisco. And he said, watch the webinars, get one of these things through, you're going to absolutely love it. And I have got, I showed this on the Big Show last night, but it's so good I want to pick it twice. It's the Cisco access point, the Meraki access point. It is just, Phil, you've picked it up, how gorgeous is it?
Absolutely.
It is. Now, would your wife allow you to put that in your house on the wall? She would. See, that's what I'm saying about this stuff. It's so sexy that even your wife would let it go on the wall and not say a word, as long as you could hide the wire a little bit. But it's absolutely gorgeous. They're absolutely stunning. And I came into work yesterday morning, and there was one of the trucks blocking the entrance. So I got my phone out and thinking, I'm on the 4G. I'll just switch the alarm off while I'm sat here doing nothing. And I looked on my phone, and my phone was on the box. And I was 60, 70 metres away, 60 yards, 70 yards away. It was unreal, absolutely unreal. And I've got the switch down there as well, and the switch is brilliant, and it does power over Ethernet, so that actually powers the access point. So therefore, I haven't got loads of wires and sockets and that kind of stuff. I've just got one Ethernet cable that goes up to the Meraki and sits in. It is brilliant. I'm really, really impressed with it. Thank you to Rob for sorting me out with all the home automation stuff that I've now got at the studio, and thank you also to him for forcing me and nagging me to go to the Meraki webinars. All you got to do is register for the webinar, and then they'll send you a kit if you look like it, and then it works for 3 years, and then it just goes off. That's it, it just stops. So unless you buy the £30 license per year thereafter to put it back on, but it's well worth the money. Well worth the money. If you buy it on their own, they're £450, but I can tell you that the quality is good. And Rob's phrase is, if Apple made access points, this is what it would look like. And he's right. The boxes that they come in are just gorgeous. And even the thing that's got the screws in it, when you open it up, you slide it out, and each screw's in its own individual little slot in the box. It's just...
Wow.
It's exactly the way... just a second. So here you go.
Sounds like Santa's come early.
Oh, it does, mate. It's brilliant. So this is the box that comes with it. It's the Cisco MR33. And when you open it, everything's in its own little slot.
Oh, look at that.
There's little tiny screws and rubber washers and a little hex key there. And it all comes in its own little thing, and it slides into its little pack. It's just good. It's just nice, you know, recycled quality cardboard. It's beautiful. Really, really beautiful.
Gosh, that's lovely.
It is.
Isn't it?
I said last night in the Big Show, when I got it out, I didn't know whether to mount it on the wall or just mount it. It looked that good.
And on that bombshell.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Where can we get a hold of you, James?
Yes, you can find me on Twitter at James Rickards. That's RACKARDS. As I said, I've been making way through the UK, so lots of fun to be had, I'm sure.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much for coming along. Will we see you on the show next week for the Christmas quiz?
I'd love to say yes, but I'll be in mother-in-law's house, so it might be a noisy house, but I'll see if I can find a quiet spot. So I'll do a recce when I get there.
Good man. Adam, where are you, sir?
You can find me at maccast.com or maccast on iTunes, and also over at the iOS show at theiosshow.com and maccast on all the social medias.
Stay safe, buddy, and make sure we can see you next week.
Oh, yeah, I'll be there.
All right, good man. And Chuck, where can we get you, Beth?
MacVoices.com is where you'll find everything. We're in the middle of our holiday gift shows, so check those out. There are more great ideas for cool tech. And you can find me on Twitter as at Chuck Joyner.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. Next week, both shows will be on Friday the 15th, I think it is. We've got a few people coming down to sit in on the studio as well. So if you want to come down and you want to sit live in and be one of the window lickers out the front here, you're more than welcome. You can even take part in some of the shows. Santa will be here delivering the Christmas quiz to everyone. And it'll be fun and frolics and a curry in the middle somewhere or pizza. I don't know. Maybe we'll get it delivered. Who cares? We'll sort it. Actually, we're going to use Lime Pickle, weren't we? They were curry takeaway of the year this year, so on Just Eat, so we're going to try a delivery from them, I hope. See you next week. Thanks for listening.